KBOO radio station is located in Portland, Oregon, in Multnomah County. We honor the indigenous people whose traditional and ancestral homelands we stand on, the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Tumwater, Watlala bands of the Chinook, the Tualatin, Kalapuya, and many other indigenous nations of the Willamette and Columbia River regions. It is important to acknowledge the ancestors of this land and to recognize that we are here because of the sacrifices forced upon them. In remembering these communities, we honor their legacy, their lives, and their descendants with the forming of relationship to each other and the living world. We establish and support harmony within ourselves and set the stage for praxis.
It makes you such a threat.
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Joshua.
Tu washtelo tanya wachianke chante washte na pe choose up yellow le chante etaha awoglake le unkipiki he washtelo ambeto ki le washtekte. Greetings and good day and welcome, my relatives. I shake your hands with a good heart. This is the voice from Earth. It's good for all of us to be here. Today will be a good day. Wake up now, relations. You're listening to First Voices Radio on Teocasin Ghost Horse and sending you greetings and strength from the highlands of the Osopus, within the lands of the Muncie, speaking Lenape. This is an all-Native hosted, all-Native produced First Voices Radio, and Liz Hill is the producer of First Voices Radio. You can hear us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, Spotify, as well as First Voices Indigenous Radio.org for archive, downloading, and listening. First Voices Radio, Pilama Yapi. We appreciate you all for listening. So when an elder speaks, listen to him or her carefully. Anakopta we chamake. I sat listening to them. What you are about to hear is recorded on another radio program that I hosted back in the year of 2000. This is a very important interview with an uncle, Alexi Russell Charles Means, born in November 1939 and lived till in October 2012. He was an Oglala Lakota activist for the rights of Native Americans, libertarian political activist, actor, musician, and writer. He became a prominent member of the American Indian Movement after joining the organization in 1968 and helped organized notable events that attracted national and international media coverage. Beginning an acting career in 1992, he appeared on numerous television series and in several films, including The Last of the Mohicans and Pocahontas, and released his own music CD. Means published his autobiography, Where White Men Feared to Tread, in 1995. He was given the name Wambli Ohiteka by his mother, which means brave eagle in the Lakota language. So this is from the archives way back in 2002K. And the question was posed as to what was patriarchy and how is it being used and misinterpreted in even its own system in the Western world, and how he has coped in his life with various strains of thought, with history, with his experience, as a Lakota man and a Native person in general. And coming from that controversy that many people hold him to be, he did move history. But in general, Native people who really understood the angst of those times, I'm sure you'll understand why he says the things that he does during this interview 23 years ago. Now it's called First Voices Radio. Then it was called Primal Minds because it was another part of the country. And so I want you to join us here. And this is Lakshi Russell Means. On the line now, we have Russell Means, who is an Oglala Lakota, who was born in Pine Ridge Indian Reservation near the Black Hills. And as a young man, you know, Russell was involved and still involved since the late 60s. He became focused and put his energy into fighting for Native Indian rights with the American Indian Movement, and he became the first national director of AIM. And for more than 27 years, more than 28, 29, 30, well, my opinion is Russell has been involved all his life with Native rights, human rights, natural rights, and this is Russell Means, and he's traveled extensively throughout the world while working for over 12 years with the United Nations. And in 1991, Russell began his career in Hollywood, and I like a statement that he said about, you know, we brought AIM, or Indian people, to Hollywood, and Hollywood vice versa, to put it out there so we get more exposure and things. Russell, welcome to Primal Mind. This is Teokasin. Thank you for joining us today. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Last year we were in New York City and we went to the Indigenous Peoples Conference, Women's Conference, and you talked a lot about how men perceive and have perceived women throughout time, especially as a Lakota men, you know, and your experiences with that. I would like to start off with how you, and you seemed to me that, you know, is it correct that I call you an elder?
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm in my 61st winter.
Okay, 61 winters. That's a long time. For me, it is, you know. And I'd like to say that as a Lakota myself, coming from Cheyenne River, that, you know, a lot of the people, a lot of the thoughts that you have put out there, I have followed. I've listened to, I've thought, and I've turned it upside down to hear, you know, like anybody would, to listen for the truth which is there. And I want to say that as a Native person from this country, that there's a lot to be learned from people who have been through that experience such as you have. So I would like to ask you, as an Indigenous male, as a Native person, a Lakota, you know, how would you address Native men who have grown up in the white world and once have gone and trying to be Native in that sense, and how they have been treating women? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't know where you're going, but I know what I'd say to people who have been growing up in the white world and are following and are still living there. I'd say goodbye.
Goodbye.
You know, living in an urban situation is like swimming upstream and rapid. Eventually, you're going to become exhausted and give up trying to swim upstream, and you're going to go with the flow. And look at our powwows. They're gone with the flow, you know?
Mm.
It's part of the colonization process we've suffered under for more than 100 years and plus. It's part of the poor me, the victim, the loser attitude that we have as Indian people. That the only place we can gain recognition is from the white man, the white male. You know, not the white woman, the white male. The white woman is only an extension of the white male. And because he comes from a patriarchal system, the world over, whether it's Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zen, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, all of these patriarchal systems are structured. Number one, they're structured the same. And I'm talking about theologically speaking. The theological structure is the same. But the patriarchal, the main thing about patriarchal systems is that it is a fear-based society. Everything in a patriarchal society is fear-based. First of all, they fear their God. Second, they fear each other. They fear the unknown. They fear women, so they have to control women. They fear men who are different than them, so they have to control them. They fear men who believe different than them, so they have to attempt to control them. That's why you have wars. That's why you have violence. It's a fear-based society. That's why they started building moats and castles and forts and fences. It's to keep out the fear. That's why they go after riches, so they insulate themselves against the fear. They get all this money, all this material gain. It's only to insulate themselves from their fears. It's a fear-based society. They fear the people whose slogan is to protect and what else? To protect and serve. To serve and protect. Those cops, anyway. The police, they fear them. They fear the firemen. They fear everything. They fear the bank. They fear their credit card. They fear the government. They fear their car. Name thing. They fear the next business. So they try to destroy that business. They either buy it out or destroy it. It's a society that's bent on the and built on the logic of self-destruction. You know, patriarchy rears its ugly head over 6,000 years ago. Every patriarchal system that has risen up has done the same mistakes, and then they go away. From the Ming Dynasty and the Mongols to Japan to India and the Maharajis to the Middle East with their sheikhs and their emperors and their sultans to the kings and queens of Europe, etc., Russia, Scandinavia, and to the presidents and legislators of the Americas. And the generals, everything is, they repeat the same mistakes. The Ming Dynasty, Byzantine, with the Greeks, Roman Empire, the Third Reich, the Nazi Empire, the British Empire, the Soviet Union, all of them self-destructed. And now the last empire left in the patriarchal history right now is the United States of America. And it's making the same mistakes. Over-centralization. Business is making the same mistakes. And that's why in a world where there's enough money for everyone, there isn't. In a world filled with fear, and it's not going to change. It's only going to get worse. Now, we Indian people, we're not losers. We're not victims. The Bureau of Indian Affairs isn't our oppressor. The Catholic Church isn't our oppressor. The Mormon Church isn't our oppressor. No, we are our oppressor. Because we've accepted colonization. We've accepted American apartheid. Again, I'll bring you back to look at the powwows. You know, they've raped my culture. That's a Plains Indian culture. Anyone not from the Plains that is dancing at powwows and dressing up at powwows is a Plains Indian wannabe. And for that, go back to your own songs, your own dances, validate yourself. Quit being a victim, quit trying to pretend and play house. You know, when I was a little kid, my cousins used to get me in and I used to play house. I'd be the daddy and my cousin, she'd be the woman, the mother, and our younger siblings and cousins would be the children and we'd play house. Well, that's what Indians are doing today. They're playing Indian. You know, it's almost as if they watched too much TV and movies and went to the video store too often. Look at the powwows. More is better. Bigger is better. That's the white man concept. You know, Indian people have always had their societies based on simple elegance. Simple elegance. You look at a powwow dancer now, and they're full of trashy stuff. It's full. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to my culture. the way they dress up and they paint themselves like Kiss and the circus clowns now. No meaning. It's unconscionable what we're doing to ourselves as victims. And we're dressing to respond. You know, I used to joke around about 10 years ago that I was going to make myself a neon fancy dance outfit. A neon. And have neons around the feathers and all of that, blinking neons, and on one side of my the headdress, the roach, they call it in our language, is the pesha. I'd have it blinking on one side, visit Mount Rushmore, and the other side I'd have buy Skoll. You know, and that way it would pay for my trips to all the, you know, selling the advertising space on my neon Indian outfit would give me travel money to from powwow to powwow, see? And I'll bet you 100 to 1 that comes in. You know, if you notice the lowriders, they have all those kind of neon, they're working neon into their cars, etc. That's going to hit the Indian outfits here pretty quick. And we're going to have nothing but neon Indians dancing. Powwow. It's abhorrent. We've become missionaries. You know, we're selling our culture and we're selling our religion. You know, just like the white man religion. You know, you got medicine men in cities now. You got medicine men going around the world. That's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. But that's because we're victims. That's because we're colonized. And we refuse to recognize oppression. We refuse to recognize slavery. We refuse to recognize repression and suppression. We refuse to recognize the Bureau of Indian Affairs for what it is. We refuse to recognize our churches for what they are. We refuse to recognize ourselves for what we've become. You know? Red niggers. Nothing but red niggers left on the doorstep of white America. And that's because we're forsaken the most important ingredient in our lives. And that's the woman. The matriarchal way of life. The matrilineal system. Everything we know about women has been eradicated from our conscious mind. Still in the families, the Indian families today, you still have vestiges and remnants of the matriarchal system. Indian women are strong. You'll see it in Indian men. They'll sell out Indian men who go off and marry white women. You know, they're used to matriarch being risen in a matriarchal home. And so when they acquiesce and show inherently, not consciously, but subconsciously, they're showing their acquiescence and respect towards the woman. The white woman, who does not come from that, they come from a patriarchal. They all of a sudden, what drew them to the Indian man, that gentleness, that quiet, that patience, all of a sudden now becomes wimp. He's a wimp. He's not a man. He's not strong, you know. He doesn't show emotion. He shows too much emotion. He shows the gentle side of him. He's like a sissy now that I'm married to him. And they don't know how to utilize the matriarchal way of life and what the man inherently has, the Indian man. You see, we still have these things. It's called DNA, but it's fast being eroded. And the woman is in the universe. The woman is the earth. The woman is throughout all of life. You know, my grandfather told me a story. He said, a long time ago, the people were sitting around the fire. Pretty soon, the men begin to watch the women grow a child. And as they continue to watch, they witness birth. The creation of life come from the woman. And then they saw that new life they just created, taken into their arms and nurtured and fed at their breasts. And nurtured at their breast, and they saw the baby begin to grow big and strong. End of my grandfather's story. I was 5 years old. And he told me that on the Yankton Sioux Indian Reservation, on the banks of the Missouri. And that story stuck with me. And the fact that I've been taught that in the universe there is a female-male balance in the universe. And if you look out throughout all of life, everything that life teaches the Indian people, the indigenous people of the earth, there's a female-male balance. Then we men, as we were building our societies, we stepped back and we took a good look at the woman and we realized, hey, women live longer than men. Duh! So what we want to do then is follow the female. We want our lineage, our descendants, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, etc. We want them to follow the line of the woman. Because when we leave, it's going to be the woman who's left. So simple fact. And you know, Indian men still do that today. And you know that from all the old people. When they married a woman, not from their village or from their res, they went to that res and to that other village where the woman's from. Because women live longer than us, we want our children and our wives to be around her friends and relatives when we leave this earth, we men. They should be comfortable among her own friends and her own relatives. So that's the clan system was born. In my language, or our language, the Teochpi, it's still the clan system. And we follow the woman. And the woman, you know, and then all of a sudden there's two things that women have that we're not blessed with. So we even had to create ceremonies for that. In all of the universe, and on all of Earth, there's only one species of life that the universe has chosen to honor fully. And that's the human female. But the universe cleanses and purifies the woman after every 28 days. And it's manifested through the moon, the full moon. Every woman knows that her purification cycle will get in sync with other women who live in close proximity with her. But when you live in a small village, and I know this, because I come from a res, I also come from Yellow Thunder Camp in the Black Hills, where this was also a phenomenon. But the women in small villages not only get in sync with each other, they get in sync with the moon, the universe. It's manifested by that full moon. And that's when their time of purification comes. It's the height of their power. Now, we look at the life of a woman and we see that, boom, overnight, the universe changes her into a woman, from a girl to a woman. She goes through that change of life. And so we have a ceremony to honor that in every indigenous society. Later in life, she goes through her second change of life, when she becomes into full bloom, full blossom. White man calls it the change of life. But he denigrates it. He feels that women, the patriarchal societies, the men in patriarchal societies, feel that once a woman goes through her second change of life, she's now throwaway material. She's no good. But indigenous societies, first of all, we recognize that women have an inherent power. Not only the inherent power to create life within their bodies and then to nurture it when it's outside their bodies, but that inherent power of heart and mind. That they can see things and feel things that we cannot as men. And after they go through the second change of life, that becomes a full flower, that power of them to foretell things, to feel things, that things are going to happen or things aren't right. You know, the white man calls it intuition. We know it also as the sixth sense. It is a sixth sense. It's a power. In our language, the translation for what happens to a woman and what she possesses, it really means power. And so she has this power. Now, us men, we're not purified naturally like the woman. So we had to devise ceremonies of purification. We had to devise ceremonies of entering manhood. Women already have it, both of them. We have to devise ceremonies in a society where we can gain wisdom, because women have it. And so we put the woman in the honored sense, in the honored place. In the indigenous societies, the home belongs to the woman, and us men, we're guests in her home. That's why we go live where she's from. We are humble. We are humbled by the presence of a woman. And our responsibility is to protect and to provide. Provide love, provide protection, provide fatherhood. And our fatherhood begins with conception. It doesn't rest just with the, you know, patriarchal societies. Fatherhood allegedly begins after the baby is born into this world. Not in our culture, the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere. It begins with conception, and we have a responsibility for the first quadmester, the first 3 months. We have a responsibility for the second 3 months, for the third 3 months, and for the fourth 3 months. I know I have lived that with my last two children. My older children didn't get the benefits because I didn't know, man. I had to go out and find out, you know? I'm not a victim. I'm not a loser. So I am an Indian. What makes me Lakota? What makes me Oglala and Yankton? What makes me Crow? I've got Crow blood. What was our societies like? Why is it that our language has no words that mean war? Because matriarchal societies, you ask any mother, any responsible mother from any culture around the world, not one of them wants to see their sons go off to war. There isn't a mother in the world who wants to see her son have wars. Guess what? We did not have wars. We have no word for it, so therefore the concept isn't there. It's non-existent. It's non-existence. Once we Indian people, and we're no different than the history of the human race on this earth, we wandered for a time until we got our spiritual direction. And once we got our spiritual direction, we became matriarchal, and therefore we literally and figuratively had heaven on earth. There's no evil. There's no evil on earth. There isn't one living thing that is evil. Ask any mother after she's given birth and she takes that baby in her arms. Ask that mother if that little baby, I don't care if it's a Christian mother, ask if that little baby is evil and born in sin and will go to hell because it won't be baptized by some man. It's the ridiculousness of a patriarchal society is just that. It's just pure ridiculous. It's crazy. It's the ectomy. It's a life of living backwards. So if you want to start, if you really want to be Lakota, if you really want to be an indigenous sovereign person in the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Central America, South America, then you realize who you are. You find out. You go and find out. And the hell with white man education. The hell with his approval. In fact, he can go to hell because he created it. We know nothing about it. And you find out your beauty. And then you can live free. You can live sovereign. You don't have to get his permission to win a basketball game, for instance. You don't have to get his permission by getting a piece of paper to be married, or getting a piece of paper to be divorced, or getting a piece of paper to drive a car, or getting a piece of paper to exist. I'll tell you what Crow Dog, old man Crow Dog, Henry Crow Dog on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation, for years, once a week, the local Catholic priest would come over, try to convert him, try to convince him. They talk about spiritual things. And finally, Henry Crow Dog, after years of this, he got tired of that man coming over. I figured he'd settle it. So he told the priest, he said, let's go outside. He said, bring your Bible. I'm going to bring my pipe. He said, see this fire? He said, I'm going to throw in my pipe, and you throw in your Bible. And the one that survives, that's what will follow. The priest left, didn't come back anymore. So there's something to be said for our wisdom. There's something to be said for our way of life. And we do not need anyone.
You are listening to First Voices Radio. My name is Teoxin Ghost Horse. We'll return to you soon with the second half of Russell Means' interview from the archives of First Voices Radio in the year 2K or Y2K or 2000.
Land of the pronghorn and buffalo. Land of Lakota, the great spirit roam. Land of beauty, peace and goodwill. Land of the people, these sacred black hills. Land of a mother, giver of life. Children, for them we build this camp in the valley of the sacred black hills, land of elders, ancestral can never be sold. Land to defend with my life, and I will rise like the thunder to defend the black hills.
Larry Long with the album Run for Freedom, the song Sacred Black Hills from 1984 in association with Rock the Cause Records. Of course, Larry Long being a longtime ally of the Native people. So now we return to our second half of First Voices Radio. and the interview with Russell Means, circa 2000, actually, cassette tape. Did what I could to enhance this, and I think it's just part of the process that goes with showing you how things in time eventually erode, but the energy's still there. So I want to hear that behind this radio program, First Voices Radio, because it's never going to be like perfect. And what is the content within, I think it's the best. So listen, you know, we can disagree and agree, and not everything Russell Means says. There's some things, right? And then take the ones that we really can see through ourselves. That's what it is, and I'd like to welcome you back to First Voices Radio. I'll continue on with Russell Means telling you about who he is and who he's comfortable with. Russell Means.
So you have to understand who you are before you can call yourself what you do. And the only way we can remain a distinct people is we're going to become colonies. That's how teaching. They call it the dance for oneness. Foolish attraction. That's what we're lining up to become, because we're waiting for his permission. His permission for us to live. And he's not gonna teach us who we are. He doesn't even know who we are. He knows nothing about matriarchy. We do. Look at our mothers. Look at our grandmas. Look at our great grandmas. So I feel good about who I am. I'm not perfect, I make mistakes. I still slip into arguments with my beautiful white girl. And as soon as I slip into it, I catch myself and I try to get out, man. Before I destroy myself. You know, I told he was 14 at the time, right? Actually, he was 12. He was arguing with his mother, and I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you the same thing. My dad told me, I didn't listen to my dad, I hope you listen to me. I said, but you don't argue with women, because you'll never win. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you might think, as a man, you got the last word. But 7 months from now, or maybe a year and a half from now, your mother's going to say, do you remember on March 7th in the afternoon, around about 2:30, when you said such and such and this and that, and you won't remember. So you see, she got the last word. At any rate, that was what I was trying to impart to my son, my dad's wisdom and my people's wisdom. You know, if you go among the indigenous people in Central America, like I was among the Miskito, you'll still see that. Matriarchy in full bloom. We had a meeting of all the Miskito leaders, all the men. And they were talking about their war with the Sandinistas. But after the meeting, we went out into the village and sat in a circle with the Miskito villagers, and there was a matriarch. Big woman, big elderly woman. And then the final decisions were made. So I witnessed that and I saw that, and it was beautiful. I remember the meetings that we used to have on the Pine Ridge back in the 70s. When the men would get up and say their things, and it'd be discussion, and then finally at the last, the elderly women would speak. This summer, Porcupine, South Dakota, same thing, same kind of meeting. The elderly women sat over there in the back, listened attentively. Towards the end of the meeting, they got up and spoke and brought some truths. Listen to this wisdom. We were trying to foment an independence movement on the Pine Ridge Sioux Indian Reservation. Become a free nation. Make a long story short, we split up in different committees, and one was the Constitutional Committee. And these elderly women were part of that, along with the young lawyer, young Indian lawyer, and other educated Indians. And I could see them over there really going to their meeting. And anyway, after all the committees had their meeting, we got together. The Constitutional Committee, where these old women were at, they had chosen one of the old women to be their spokesperson to give out what our new constitution was going to be. And she got up and she says, well, after a few arguments, we decided we already have a constitution. It's the seven spiritual laws the white buffalo calf pipe woman brought us. That's our constitution. I loved it. Yes. We don't need to be exactly like a white man, have a written constitution. We don't have to do anything. For eons, we lived in a matriarchal society in peace. For eons, for millions of years, as my uncle, Lexi Matthew King, used to say. For millions of years, we lived here before the white man came in. And we've got our constitution. We don't have to cross any T's or dot any I's or get any lawyer. We got the seven sacred instructions. You know? That's our constitution. So I want to thank you.
We are talking with Russell Means of Oglala Lakota, a leader, a natural-born leader, as people would say out there in back home in the Black Hills area. Russell, I'd like to thank you for joining us and expressing your freedom to us and those expressions of freedom. And it's been an honor. Thank you for joining us.
It's my honor to be on here. Indigenous program.
Indigenous. We need more of these, don't you think?
Oh, man, we'll take it over, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's ours anyway.
Yeah, the air is free.
Yeah.
So far, anyway.
So far. They're selling it by a square foot in New York City, by the way.
I believe it.
It's like $1 million of a square foot of airspace so they can put their skyscrapers up.
Yeah. You got it.
All right, Russell. Doksha ake wachi.
Uh-huh. What's the deal?
Blame you.
Doksha ake.
Russell Means. And what we're going to be doing is going to a little break here on KAOS Olympia 89.3 FM and Primal Minds with Yokes. And we'll be back with Judy Gobert of Blackfeet Nation, and she works for the Salish Kootenai in a human genome diversity project, which is DNA and patenting of indigenous native genes so that they can come up with a salvation point mentality of the superhuman to save all you humans out there from your destructions of yourself or of Mother Earth or something like that. And technology has no wisdom. Just look at the word tech, no logic. You know, the United States and Britain today agreed, not today, but as of March 14th, they agreed to openly share data from groundbreaking projects and that decode human genetic patterns. They say they're going to develop new medical cures and preventions. And they've been saying this for I'd say about 15 years now, and they haven't come up with one single way of preventing any disease or curing any disease from the research. They've only come up with certain innuendos that imply that superiority belongs only to the privileged, in a privileged class, the 5% that it can afford. But also to extend it beyond, which we'll be talking with Judy Gobert. She knows more about this. She's been studying this, is well versed in the science and the philosophies of what had been happening with indigenous peoples. And that, you know, something to be said also is the way that we indigenous peoples are looking at how we are colonizing ourselves again and coming into saying this is how to be Indian according to the white man, so that we can get along with the white man, and because either something in us is saying we're appeasing our own blood or appeasing our own words or something like that. Even I totally get into it all the time, just opening my mouth, sticking my foot into my mouth, and saying some things that aren't completely all there, like anybody. And maybe that's because I'm talking English. Because when I talk Lakota, it's not. It's far from being able to manipulate. So I want to say that much, and we'll go to this break, and we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us here on Primal Minds.
Folks, a version, yes, 23 years ago, right out of a place called Olympia, Washington, in between New York and whatever station you're listening to now in the current First Voices Radio. Then it was Primal Minds. Before that, it was Exposing the Apologetic Predator. A little history tour, and I started out with View from the Shore. Exposing the Apologetic Predator, Primal Minds, First Voices Indigenous Radio, and now First Voices Radio. So it was just a collage of errors and valid points set in place by Russell Means. And my thoughts, even that time at 23 years ago in 2000. So, yeah, stick around here. We'll be right back. This is First Voices Radio. My name is Teo Kasing. Ghost Horse.
I'm not afraid to die.
That's Alabama Shakes with Don't Wanna Fight off a 2015 album, Sound and Color. The genre is alternative. Hey, it's good to hear you and see you and know that you're out there listening to First Voices Radio. And again, I want to thank you for joining us this time. And, you know, we'll be back again next week, same time, same channel. And hope that you've been enjoying First Voices' many facets of listening, hearing, and delivering messages, interviews, news, views, everything, and in between. The community mess-ups, the professionalism, the unprofessionalism, the good guests, not-so-good guests, the better programs, the not-so-better programs, but it's all part of being a human here on First Voices Radio. I want to thank you again as you reach out, as we reach out to support your community radio station and your favorite programs, but also the community radio station that you hear this First Voices Radio through their airwaves in your local area. And if you're driving and you've heard First Voices for the first time, go to the First Voices Radio and put it in those words and it'll come up in your website and you can download or broadcast just about anything just to hear maybe something you haven't ever heard before. But thank you again. My name is Teokasin Ghost Horse.